Major Ashley, look up there. Biggest buffalo I ever seen.
Yeah, I see him, Tom. He's a dandy. Think I'll try to drop him.
Why, he's over 300 yards off. You wouldn't knock him down even if you did hit him. Watch.
Whoa there.
By thunder, you done it. He's down and not moving.
Figured I'd get him, Tom. I'm shooting a Hawken rifle.
The land we live in. St. Louis, 1822, gateway to an empire. Outfitting center for the trappers, hunters, the plains and mountain men who were to carve the country from the western wilderness. Brave men, these, who made their way into the trackless wilds with little more than iron courage, resourcefulness, and unerring rifles. The finest of these rifles bore the name of Hawken, most famous of frontier guns. The Hawken Rocky Mountain Rifle, made in St. Louis. Tonight, we tell the little-known story of the men who made them.
Your Union Electric Company, serving you daily through electricity, presents Hawken the Gunmaker.
There weren't many industries in the town of St. Louis in the year 1822. A blacksmith, Thornton Grimsley's saddle and harness shop, and on the levee near Cherry Street, the gun store of one Jacob Hawken. One day, very early in the spring, Jake is working and talking to a friend.
I tell you, Jake, it was the finest shot I ever made in my life. That buffalo was 300 yards off, and the bullet pierced him clean through.
Major Ashley, I'm proud to hear it.
Why, I was offered $150 for that rifle, three times what I paid you to make it. But I turned it down.
Well, I could have made you another, just as good.
I don't want just another. I want 50. And I want them by May.
What?
Drew Henry and I just organized a Rocky Mountain Fur Company. I'm going to take 100 men up the Missouri River into Sioux and Cree territory. They're bad actors.
Yeah, here they're the hardest fighting Indians anywhere.
I want my men to have Hawken rifles. Now, Jake, I'll give you $40 apiece.
Well, now, wait a minute, Major. It ain't so much the money, but I just don't reckon I'll have time. Excuse me a minute. Customer just come up in front. Yes, sir, what can I... Sam! Sammy! I thought you were in Ohio!
Hello, Jake. I figured you'd be a mite surprised.
Well, I sure am. How'd you get here?
I come in on the steamboat postboy from Louisville, who we only just now tied up.
What in Tunk are you doing here? Where's your girls?
Oh, I left them with their aunt for the time being. You know, Jake, since their mother died, I've been so restless I can't sit still. I hear there's a lot of money in the fur trade, so I'll come out to see about it.
Pardon me. You say you were interested in the fur trade, mister?
Major Ashley, this is my brother, Sam Hawken. Sam, Major Ashley just started up the Rocky Mountain Fur Company. Him and Andrew Henry, that is.
I'm glad to know you. I'm looking for men to go west with me.
Well, sir, I just might be one of the men you want.
Now, hold on, Sammy. You're a gunsmith, not a mountain man.
Oh, Jake, when you're 30, you ain't too old to change.
We're going into virgin territory, Mr. Hawken, where the beaver have never been trapped. We'll come back rich men.
I'll tell you something, Major. You go recruiting Sammy, you'll never have no 50 rifles when you want them. I need him to help me.
I see. Of course, it'll be dangerous, hard work, and risky.
Well, looks to me like things is different out here than they are in the East. Back there, men fight for an opportunity, and out here, the opportunities is fighting over the men. Of course, I'll stay on as your partner for a while, Jake, but I've had a hankering to see those mountains out there. Besides, there's good money in the fur trade, and with three daughters to support...
Yeah, what about the girls, Sammy? What'll they do when you're out traipsing around the mountains?
They'll be all right with their Aunt Mariah till I can get enough money together to buy a home for them here in St. Louis and hire a housekeeper.
Well, Sam, I could get a house for you right away.
No, by golly, I always wanted to see the country and never did. As soon as those rifles is finished for Ashley, I'm going west with him.
All right, Sam, what you do is your business, but there's more than 5,000 people in St. Louis, and lots of them want guns, but if you want to go get Scout.
Now, Jake, there's no use in talking. Come on, we just as well get to work on Ashley's rifles.
You're just as bullheaded as you ever were. All right. Well, he wants 53 caliber guns with an 8-sided 34-inch barrel.
That's mighty heavy.
Well, for Indians and grizzly bears, it got to be.
Well, we can use a half stock on him. Keep the weight down to 10 or 12 pounds.
Now, Major Ashley has a rifle I made him. Says he wouldn't part with it. A man offered him $150 for it, and he turned it down.
Can't say as I blame him, Jake. By golly, out in this country, I guess a good rifle is the best friend a man's got.
That's right, Sam. And when it's a Hawkin rifle, it's a kind of friend you can count on.
Howdy, Jake.
Tom Fitzpatrick. Why, you old catamount. I thought you were out in the Colorado country.
Well, I was. Met up with some of Lice's Missouri Fur Company men and come back St. Louis with
them. Well, I'm glad you did, you old crow.
Here Ashley's taking a trip up the Missouri.
Well, that's right.
Never seen that country. Kind of liked it, too. Jake, had a little fracas with some Kiowa Indians last month. Had to run for it. Hit old sudden death here on a rock, and their sights is a here off.
Well, just leave your gun here, Tom. I'll fix it for you. Probably ain't much, but then it don't take much to make you miss.
Before you fix it, I got a young sprout with me, name of Jim Bridger. Yeah. Wants to go west with Ashley. Says he's an old-fired fine shooter.
Yeah, so.
He don't know my gun's off. Now, I thought if we could take him out back of the shop.
Maybe we could take him down a notch. Yeah. All right, Tom. I'll be right with you.
Ding! Busted, Mr. Ginn. I can't understand it.
Boy, if you don't shoot no better than that, you'll get your hair raised by an Indian shore. Eh, Jake?
That's right, Tom. Lots of times you don't have but one chance.
Don't suppose this here rifle might be just a little off, do you?
Why, son, that's a Hawkin gun. They ain't never off.
Well, I guess I'll try to hit that peg once more.
My, Jim. I don't know as Major Ashley will want you, being as you can't hit nothing.
I guess maybe I bragged on myself too much. Maybe I ain't fitting to be a mountain man.
Oh, Tom. We shouldn't bully-rag the kid too much.
You're right, Jake. Son, I'll tell you something. Them sights is off.
What?
I brung the gun here to get it fixed.
Why, you old horse.
Well, I'm not taking it easy.
Easy now. Easy, son.
Well, he ain't got no right
now,
to fool with
easy.
Me.
Take it easy.
Hello.
Say,
right.
Tom, look in the wood beside that peg. You could cover every one of the lad's shots with a 2-bit piece.
Sure enough, you could.
You've got eyes like an eagle, Jim Bridger. And you're going to have a Hawkin rifle. A true one. I'll be proud to have you carry one.
As soon as I get this barrel grooved, you can put the percussion lock on, Jake.
Good. That'll about finish up Ashley's rifles. Sam, I'll tell you what.
What?
John Lindsay's daughter's getting married, and there's going to be a party afterwards. Our work's about caught up. So let's you and me go have some fun.
Well, I don't know. Since Rosanna's
Now, you've
gone,
been
I...
a widower near 2 years now. It's not natural to keep yourself the rest of your life. What do you say, brother?
Well, I wouldn't know nobody. At least none of the women folks.
I'll see that you get acquainted. Come on, let's close up shop. Party will be going strong by the time we ride out to Lindsay's.
Sun preached all over the plain. Highest pecs he ever took was Milo Jack in the game. Round and round, old Joe Clark, round and round we're gone. Round and round, old Joe Clark, and bye-bye Lucy Long. I wish I had a nickel, I wish I had a dime. I wish I had a pretty gal to kiss and call her mine. Round and around, old Joe Clark, round and around we're gone. Round and around, old Joe Clark, and bye-bye Lucy Long.
For a man who says he hasn't danced for a long time, you're mighty spry.
Well, that's kind of you, Miss Ritchie. I had to go some to keep up with you. Are all the St. Louis girls as lively as you?
I'm sure I don't know. My family only moved here a few months ago. I don't know hardly anybody.
Well, I've just been here a short time myself. Matter of fact, you're about the first lady I've got acquainted with.
Oh.
All right, everybody. Ladies on the right, gents on the left. All line up swift now.
Well, come on, Miss Ritchie. Here we go again.
Gents on the outside. All hands down. Here we go.
Say, Sam, you and that Martha Ritchie seem to get along first rate. Had a pretty good time last night, didn't you?
Oh, it was all right.
That was a mighty good fiddle they had, too. I wouldn't marry a widow. It'll tell you the reason why. She'd have so many children, they'd make those biscuits fly.
What are you singing that for?
Oh, no reason. No reason at all. Say, I hear Ashley's planning to leave only 10 days from now.
Uh-huh.
You, better be getting an outfit together if you're going along.
Yeah.
Well, you ought to be mighty happy about leaving, much as you want to see them mountains out there.
I am.
Well, say, you know, Sam, you say you want to make enough money to get a home and a housekeeper for your girls. Well, you might not need a housekeeper.
Why not?
Well, if you was to get a wife instead...
Why don't you stick to gun-making instead of matchmaking? I'm going out and start buying my outfit.
Oh, Sam, I will worry about you, about all of you who are going with Ashley. Except for Lewis and Clark, no white men have been that way.
Oh, most of Ashley's men, Bridger, Sublet, Jed Smith, Fitzpatrick, most of them know the mountain country. Why, we'll be all right.
I hope so. If anything should happen to you...
Martha, I guess I told you, I have 3 little girls. The oldest one is 6.
Yes, you told me.
I guess there aren't many women that'd want to marry a widower with 3 youngsters.
I don't know. It depends upon the man.
Martha, I haven't known you long, but... Well, I'll be thinking about you, and when I come back from the West, Well, I better wait till I get back. Goodbye. I gotta catch the wagon.
But, Sam, wait. Oh. Oh, I hope he comes back. I hope so.
Careful, Abarge. You too, Happy?
That's the last keg of powder to put on the wagon.
Well, good. Now, remember... You meet Ashley at St. Charles and load everything on his keelboat.
All right, Jake.
My brother Sam decided to ride on the wagon with you. He's going with Ashley.
We are about ready?
Yeah, I'll call Sam. Say, you better put that pipe out, LaBarge. With all that powder, smoking's kind of risky.
We'll stop when we get on the wagon.
Sam! Oh, Sam, they're waiting on you.
Tell them to go ahead. I'll meet them at St. Charles.
All right. Probably wants to go tell that Richie girl goodbye again, that darn fool.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead, huh?
Yeah, no telling how long he'll be lollygagging around. He was mighty anxious to go west before he met this woman, and now he ain't in no hurry at all.
Hey, come on, Happy, on the wagon. Let's go.
I'm ready, Pierre.
Goodbye, Mr. Hawkin. We'll be back from St. Charles tomorrow.
Got it up, Vic?
Pierre!
Huh?
You better put that pipe out.
It's almost smoked out, Mr. In just a few minutes, I will do as you say. Once again, goodbye.
Martha, I'll be riding out to St. Charles today to join Ashley. But before I go, I just wanted to say that, well... If you wouldn't mind waiting a year or so, I...
Well, I guess I wouldn't, Sam.
And if you don't mind my having a family already...
Oh, I don't, Sam.
Well, then, I want you to...
Oh!
Great day! What was that?
Oh, the ground shook. Look, that smoke!
It's over on Washington Avenue. I better go see what happened. I'll be back in a little while.
I wonder what it could be. My goodness, I never heard anything like it.
I seen him go by, and that feller LaBarge was puffing on a pipe. I seen him take it out of his mouth and tap out the ashes on top of a powder keg. Happy was riding on the back end. We got a couple blocks away, and whoom!
The poor devil.
LaBarge flew 100 feet high, and Happy weren't much behind him. They never knew what hit him. Everything on the wagon was torn to pieces. Funny thing, though, the horses wasn't scratched. An old hound dog was trotting along under the wagon, wasn't hurt outside of having his back hair burned. Funniest accident I ever seen.
Nothing was left, Jake. Nothing. We'll have to get word to Ashley.
Word ain't gonna do him much good, Sam. He needs guns and powder. I don't think we have more than 12 rifles ready.
I'll take those to him and tell him we'll send more out to his rendezvous before fall.
How am I going to have enough rifles ready by then?
Well, I ain't going with him, Jake. I'll stay and help make them. Right now, a good gunsmith in St. Louis means a lot more to Ashley than a green trapper out in the Rocky Mountains.
Well, Sam, I know how bad you want to go out there.
Well, to tell the truth, Jake, I won't mind staying in St. Louis at all. I kind of like it here. I'd like to bring the girls out. Looks like I'll have a home for them sooner than I expected. And a mother, too.
Remember the days when it was the custom to gather around the table in the living room after dinner and read and study and look at the stereoscope, all by the light of a single lamp? Those were the days when you called your electric bill a light bill. Today, many people still refer to it as a light bill, but it's far more than that now. In addition to lighting the home, electricity does countless other jobs that make life easier and living more pleasant. It washes dishes, for example, and disposes of garbage, irons clothes, and refrigerates food. It sweeps the floors and cleans the upholstery. Electricity even cooks whole meals while we're away. And as you know, the more you use electricity to help you with your washing and ironing and other household tasks, the less it costs you per kilowatt hour. Yes, thanks to your increased use of electricity, the skill of Union Electric's 5,000 men and women, and sound management, your electric service is still a bright spot in your budget today. In fact, the average residential bill today is less than $4 per month, even though the cost of supplying you with electricity has steadily gone up and up. And now we present Act Two of Hawken the Gunmaker.
Back before the Civil War, the rifles made by the Hawken brothers of St. Louis played a tremendous part in the winning of the West. Hawken became mountain slang for high quality, and a man with a fine horse called it a Hawken horse. The rugged mountain men bestowed pet names on their rifles, Sure Death, Old Blackleg, True Shot, and the great men of the great open spaces earned their laurels with Hawken rifles. The brothers were Jacob and Samuel. Jake, the stay-at-home, and Sam, who had a hankering to go west, but who stayed in St. Louis for more than a quarter of a century, until one day in 1849.
Sam, I never seen anything like it. Everybody in the United States must be going to California after gold, and all of them want Hawken rifles.
Yeah, they say you can pick up nuggets big as hen's eggs right out of the creeks. I'd sure like to see that.
Now, Sam, don't you go getting that wanderbug again. You got Martha and 10 children to think about.
Well, think what I could do for them if I was to go out there and strike it rich. Wouldn't take more than a few months. You got young John Gemmer and Charlie Sevier to help you here in the shop.
Now, you've been itching to go out there ever since you come to St. Louis 27 years ago. You got everything a man could want. Nice home and family, a good business. Why in Tunkin' ain't you satisfied?
Be jiggered if I know, Jake. I guess it's because I see too much of men like Kit Carson and John Fremont. They make that country sound awful good.
Well, sometimes I wish you'd go and get it out of your system.
Mr. Hawken, there's a wagon out in front. Load of iron from Merrimack Ironworks.
All right, John. I better go see if it's what we want. Sam, you said anything to Martha about going west?
No, Jake, not yet, I haven't.
Well, she'd put a stop to it. I'll bet you on that.
Maybe she would, Jake. There's only one way to find out. I'm going to ask her.
All I've ever wanted is to see you happy.
Well, I have been, Martha. I've been the best wife in the world. Well, a man couldn't ask for a better home.
Then why is it you want to leave?
It's hard to say. Maybe it's because I've seen so many wagon trains pull out, wondered where they was going, or from listening to the tales the mountain men tell down in the shop. Maybe it's because I just want to see what the West looks like. I don't know, Martha. It's something I hardly understand myself.
Sammy, I want you to go.
You what?
The children are all nearly grown, and there's plenty to take care of us. Soon, you know, you might be too old for such a journey.
Well, I won't be gone long, only 3 or 4 months.
I will miss you, and worry about you, too. But if it's what you want, then I want it, too.
Sam, I got 12 wagon loads of 49er. Reckon there'd be room for you somewhere. They're anxious to get moving since the cholera started here in town.
Good, Tom. I'll get outfitted. There ain't no guide I'd rather go with than you. Yes, sir. California, here I come. Now, Jake, you just take care of things for a few months, and then I'll be back.
All right, Sam. You take care of yourself.
What's the matter, Jake?
Nothing. Just a little cramp. You better get on home now if you're figuring on leaving tomorrow.
Well, Martha, I made arrangements with John O'Fallon at the bank, and whatever money you need, you can draw from him. Old Dan will be around to cut wood and do odd jobs, and I guess that everything will be... I wonder who that is.
Yes? What is it?
Mr. Hawken here? Mr. Sam Hawken?
Yes, I'm here. What is it, boy?
You're wanted down at your shop right away. Your brother's took sick. Doctor said you'd better hurry.
But doctor, there must be something you can do. Why, he was all right this morning.
I've done everything I can, Mr. Hawken. But that's not much in these cholera cases.
But he's my brother, my partner.
Sam, he's trying to say something.
Sam, wait till I'm better before you go. Keep the shop going, Sammy.
Sure I will, Jake. You'll be all right. Jake, listen to me. You got to get better. You got to. That's a mighty good percussion lock, Johnny.
Why, thank you, Uncle Sammy.
Mighty near as good as Jake used to make. It's got to be, too. Boy, Jake always said Hawking guns were the best in the West, and he'd want them to keep on being the best.
Samuel Hawken, the gunmaker, carried on alone in the business he and his brother had made famous from the Mississippi to the Pacific. Hawken rifles barked along the Santa Fe Trail, echoed in the forests of Oregon, pushed the frontier towards the sunset where the mountain men blazed a trail. Covered wagons followed, then the Iron Horse. And in 1859, a new cry was heard, resounded across the nation, was heard in the rifle shop.
Uncle Sammy, did you hear the news?
No. Can't say as I have.
Gold's been discovered in Colorado. People are heading there from everywhere. Yes, sir. It's Pike's Peak or bust.
Well, that's interesting, son. Pike's Peak or bust. Johnny, you've been with me a long time now. How'd you like to buy the business? Locks, stocks, barrels, tools, everything. Call it the Gemmer Rifle Shop.
Why, Uncle Sammy, I don't know.
You wouldn't have to pay for it all at once.
I want somebody to have it who knows how to make a good gun.
Well, I'd have to talk it over at home.
You know, Johnny, I'm a widower now. My children's grown and scattered, and there ain't a thing holding me down but this shop. I've been in St. Louis 37 years, and, well, now I'd like to see some of the places I've been wanting to see for a mighty long time.
Oh, I see. Well, you go ahead, Uncle Sammy. Don't worry about the shop. If I don't buy it, I can still run it for you.
I know you can, boy. Pike's Peak. Say, I'll bet that's something to see.
Say, Uncle Sammy, we got a sick feller needs a place in a wagon. Think you could walk for a spell?
Well, it sure could, Ezra. You bring him on right back here. I can walk just as good as any man.
I knew him back in 32. He must be about 68.
Well, he's the spryest old fella I ever seen. By thunder, he's just about as good as his rifle.
Look. Look up ahead there. See where it looks like clouds?
Is it the mountains? The Rocky Mountains?
That's them, Uncle Sammy. Big as life and twice as pretty. What is it? What's the matter, Uncle Sammy?
Nothing. Nothing, boy. It's just that I've been awaiting a long time to see him. A mighty long time.
So, when he was nearly 70, Hawken the gunmaker saw the country his rifles had conquered. The amazing old gentleman walked most of the 800 miles from St. Louis to Denver, and the journey took some 57 days. He opened a shop in Denver, made a few rifles, visited gold camps and boom towns. Then in 1861, he returned to St. Louis to make rifles for the United States Army during the Civil War. Eventually, he did sell out to John P. Gemmer and retired to a home on Olive Street Road. Until he died in 1884 at the age of 91, he was a frequent visitor to the shop where he and his brother Jake made the rifles that helped make the history of this, the land we live in. Hawken the Gunmaker, another glimpse into the past of this land we live in, has come to you with the best wishes of the 5,000 men and women of Union Electric, skilled and experienced workers who are on the job 24 hours a day, to bring you one of today's greatest values, your electric service. A service which brings you comfort, convenience, and pleasure at the flick of a switch, at the lowest possible cost. Tonight's program was written by Ken Singer Jones, with original music created and conducted by Russ David. Elliot Bergfeld portrayed Sam Hawken. Haskell Schwartzberg was his brother Jake. And Mary Alice Hart portrayed Martha. The entire production was under the direction of Ted Westcott. Next week, we'll bring you an exciting dramatization of an almost forgotten episode that helped shape the destiny of the Upper Mississippi Valley. We'll tell of ruthless marauders on the river, cutthroats and desperados who threatened the commerce of early St. Louis. You'll enjoy next week's Land We Live In drama, Bozalil and the Pirates. Now for the 5,000 men and women of your Union Electric Company, this is your narrator, Del King, wishing you a very pleasant good evening, and may your home be bright with happiness.
This is the St. Louis Post-Dispatch Station, KSD and KSD-FM.